France says it cannot accept a partner like the US invading its privacy. This after new revelations that the US National Security Agency secretly collected over 70 million recordings of French phone data in just 30 days between late 2012 and early 2013. The extent and scope of the US spying scandal is raising questions on civil rights, trust between nations and accountability, all of which we'll be addressing on this edition of The Debate. First, a report.
Millions more falling to the US spying verb with the latest revelations about an ever-growing network of global espionage. The French newspaper Le Monde has reported that the US National Security Agency hacked into more than 70 million phone calls in France over a 30-day period. The larger-scale eavesdropping has left the French outraged.
The revelations in Le Monde, which I haven't yet had a chance to read, based on documents brought out by Edward Snowden, are of course, it seems from what I've heard, shocking and will require urgent and precise explanations from the American authorities over the next few hours. This concerns all countries, but if an ally spies on France or on other European countries, that is totally unacceptable.
French authorities have summoned U.S. Ambassador Charles Rifkin to Paris to explain about the alleged spying.
The light of the information published by Le Monde, I immediately summoned the American ambassador. This sort of practice between partners that invades privacy is totally unacceptable, and we have to make sure very quickly that this no longer happens.
Le Monde says it obtained the information about the massive U.S. surveillance from whistleblower Edward Snowden. The newspaper's article comes after the German magazine Der Spiegel and British newspaper The Guardian reported about the NSA's espionage in Germany, Britain and beyond.
So what Le Monde is publishing today, this part of the Snowden files, NSA files, is a proof that after Great Britain and Germany, France has been a target of a huge spying program by the NSA. So we now have some details of the communications targeted and some companies targeted.
Le Monde's report says Mexico has been the target as well, with the country's presidency network hacked. Mexico is also demanding answers from the US. This is not the first time France and Mexico have been hit by NSA's spying allegations. Der Spiegel reported last month that the US agency monitored all internal diplomatic cables of France's diplomats and the country's foreign ministry. European and Latin American countries have been the NSA's main targets. In September, Mexico and Brazil summoned US ambassadors after reports that the agency spied on their presidents. During her speech at the United Nations General Assembly in September, Brazil's President Dilma Rousseff launched a blistering attack on the US, saying the espionage is a violation of international law. She also put off a planned visit to Washington at the time in protest at US spying. Edward Snowden, the former NSA contractor, started leaking the agency's global spying program back in May. He then fled to Hong Kong and eventually to Moscow to avoid trial in the US over treason charges. Early October, he was awarded with the annual Sam Adams Award by former security officers in a ceremony in Moscow. During that ceremony, he criticized the US's spiraling spying activities, saying they've left the world in an unsafe position.
And they're going, this doesn't make us more safe, it makes us less safe, it puts us at risk.
A breach of international law, violation of privacy, or whatever you want to call it. The US widespread spying goes against the principles that Washington claims it seriously adheres to.
You're watching The Debate. Joining us now live from New York is a UN correspondent for Newsmax magazine, Mr. Stuart Stogel. Welcome, sir. And a warm welcome to our guest with us from Orlando, former US intelligence linguist, Mr. Scott Rickard. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. I'll put my first question to our guest in New York, Mr. Stogel. Let's take a look first at what France has been saying. The French foreign minister, I'm quoting here, says, "We were already warned in June, reacted strongly then. Apparently, we must go further. This sort of practice between partners that invades privacy is totally unacceptable. We have to make sure quickly that this no longer happens." How do you think that's going to happen?
It's probably not. I don't really see anything new in this, in the respect that the United States has been spying on France and vice versa for many, many years. Israel, which is supposedly a lot closer to the United States than France, has been known for spying on the United States and vice versa. So the fact that this has become public is news, but the fact that it's been going on for at least two or three decades is really not news, so I don't expect much to change.
Mr. Scott Rickard, first of all, do you agree there that the fact that this has become public is actually the news here, and that France knew about it? This has also been expressed by some of our viewers and commentators.
Well, this has become public in the mainstream media, I'd say, in the last 6 months or so. But in really well-reported media has talked about this for nearly a decade. The systems in question now were built in the early 2000s. And you had many companies that were selling these systems to France and to Mexico with I'd say right around the 2005 to 2006 time frame. The International Bureau for Narcotics and Law Enforcement actually put out a bid to put the systems into Mexico. And the company that won the bid for this particular deployment in France and Mexico is a company called Verint. It's a manufacturer of surveillance systems in the video and telecommunications industries. Now, Verint is it's an Israeli-owned company. It provides intelligence collection as well as surveillance at airports around the world, at cities around the world, as well as in the telecommunications markets around the world. You have to take into close consideration that this intelligence is basically selective. When there are things that are available that would perhaps find the Americans to have done something that is criminal or illegal, that information is suppressed from these intelligence communities. So a lot of times it's a very one-way street. They choose when they want to release the information, and they choose how and when they go after specific individuals.
Well, let's go back to New York. Mr. Stogel, on the case of France, we know that NSA, according to the report, has taken 70.3 million French telephone records in just a 30-day period. Now, one question that's being asked a lot is, why is the scope of this spying so massive, especially when the country involved is an ally of the United States?
Well, because France is also a political haven for a lot of people who are anti-United States. The Ayatollah Khomeini, when he was in exile from Iran, lived in France. So there are a lot of political people whom the United States may have adversarial relationships with who are living in France, which could explain one reason why this surveillance took place. And another thing, the financial news network CNBC revealed about 3 or 4 days ago that of all of the West European countries, France had the most lax security procedures. So it seems that France has been a target not only by the United States, but by a lot of other countries, including Russia and China.
So just to get this debate going on the issue and the questions of accountability and how necessary these kinds of spyings are, again in New York, Mr. Stogel, would you say that this program should have been made public from the start, that the United States shouldn't have made it a secret, and that is the reason it was kept secret, as a lot of people are saying, is because it didn't want to be held accountable?
Yes and no, but I don't think the Americans keeping it secret were they were more of the norm rather than the exception. My guess is is that many other countries are doing the same thing. The Americans were rather sloppy in the way they were maintaining this quote-unquote secrecy. Word got out, and of course the mainstream media then made it headlines.
Mr. Rickard, what's your opinion on that?
Well, it's actually the Americans are probably the most dominant player in the intelligence collection community around the world, with some very special partners in Israel as well as in the UK. These systems that have been deployed, the reason you see so much more information being collected is because the technology is so much more scalable. The scalability of these systems has gone way beyond the imagination of the things that were available only 10 years ago. Simple things like being able to duplicate fiber communications with technologies like Glimmer Glass. Glimmer Glass will allow you to basically duplicate the fiber communications and do a full backup of entire fiber streams of communications and these voice and data networks that are out there pushing the kinds of information that is being collected. Now, these countries were very well aware that they were being surveilled and that this equipment was being installed. People like Carlos Slim are very well involved with the American telecommunications industry and welcomed in these technologies for several reasons. A lot of it had to do with going after criminals within their own countries. But at the same time, they may not have been as aware that the Americans would quite simply use this technology to go after political figures that were not in the corrupt positions, that were in the cabinets, and using those particular communications to the benefit of American interests and actually going after really innocent individuals and stealing information from them for economic purposes and other reasons that were very unethical.
Well, the question of interest is really important, I think, here. Mr. Stogel, whose interest is actually being preserved? Some people are saying that it's not the American people's interest that's being preserved here, because would you agree with those who say civil rights is being violated, that the spying program is just going too far in terms of people's rights, not just in America, but across the globe?
Well, of course, the average person is the person that loses the most. But why the Americans are doing it, I believe they're probably being pressured by some major American corporations who've complained for many years about their trade secrets being stolen. They pointed fingers, especially at the Chinese, the Russians, and the French, specifically Groupe, the computer conglomerate in France. They've complained for many years, American companies have, that their trade secrets are being stolen. So though it's not justification, turnabout is fair play, especially in the American business community.
So you're saying that for the sake of corporations and business interests, this spying program did take place. But what about the extent and scope of the spying program? I mean, was this extent and scope necessary for even the business interests to be preserved?
Well, they probably were, because the internet is now so large, everybody is so interconnected. I would think the scale should not be surprising because of the way everyone is connected these days.
Mr. Rickard, would you say that the scale and scope should be as it is?
Well, I guess in a way I kind of agree with Mr. Stogel. I mean, the fact is that all you have to do is go back 20, 30 years. And if you and I were able to have this kind of a conversation, you know, we can do this over Skype. We can call around the world basically for free, when a call cost a country 30 years ago cost $5 a minute and nobody could afford to talk to each other. So right now, as Mr. Stogel mentioned, you know, the ability for us to communicate and connect is extreme. I mean, we have the fabulous ability to communicate and really subvert a lot of the censorship and subvert a lot of the what I would call propaganda that our governments had been feeding us for decades. So in a way, I think they're basically coming up and using their technologies to actually skirt around our abilities to be able to combat what I would consider the misinformation and the kinds of censorship that had been going on among all nations. And of course, the Americans have been extremely successful with deploying equipment, both from the satellite perspective, the terrestrial-based perspective, and also with the digital communications technology. So they are definitely leaders in the space of this what I would call a massive invasion of privacy and abuse of the collection of that information for the benefit of the few.
Well, you see, some people are saying, Mr. Stogel, that the massive invasion of privacy, as I guess there is calling it, is inevitable in this time and age. Others are saying that, in fact, we should raise up to this. We shouldn't let this happen. I mean, one writer was saying the only reason a domestic spy program's existence would be kept unknown to the public is to violate the trust of the public and to escape any need to ask for consent, to avoid having to face the victims. What do you think about that?
Well, you just said it. You know, if the Americans were to publicly admit a lot of this stuff. There could be legal action taken against whoever is doing the surveilling. And the accountability could run into, you know, lawsuits of tens of billions of dollars. I myself had my identity hacked by, of all people, Citibank. And it's caused a lot of problems for me to try and clean up the damage they've done. And I'm a civilian. I don't hide any secrets. But this is the way things are gotten these days. The technology has advanced to the degree where the banks and the governments can't keep track of the same technology they're using and they themselves have created.
So should we simply accept that as a fact of life? Before I get a response on that, I'm being told that our comments are ready. We're going to take a look at two of them that have been posted on our Facebook page right now.
I don't know about Mexico, but I doubt it the French didn't know. I think they're just trying to make some noise about their anger in the media just to calm their public opinion. They're just angry that it came out and everybody found out. Same goes for the Germans and the rest of the EU. I would say that the spying is only a small part of the greatest danger to our freedom and the way of life. I'd like to know why the US government thinks it can spy on the world and its own citizens without repercussions. It's not fair, and the world is getting sick and tired of the US.
Two of our commentators there putting their posts on our Facebook page. I'll go to Scott Rickard first of all. One of those comments saying, Mr. Rickard, I'd like to know why the US government thinks it can spy on the world. You did mention there that we're seeing the extent of this spying in the US overpassing that of any other country. Why do you think we're seeing this? I mean, what we're hearing the United States say, of course, is that there's a war on terror involved, that its security interests are being threatened. But, you know, a lot of others are saying, is America really in an emergency security situation that would require all this?
Well, absolutely, it is not required. We have a society that has allowed their government to basically do whatever they wish with the technology and the money and the military equipment around the world. This is really an undemocratic society. The very few control the actual movement of money, the movement of military gear, and the collection of the intelligence. I mean, it's extremely important to understand that, you know, Thomas Edison, for example, created a small company nearby where I live called Dictaphone. And at Dictaphone, they created a technology that basically was evolved into emergency 911 services. That company was acquired by NICE Systems, and NICE Systems is very similar to Verint and other systems out there like NARUS and all kinds of different systems. But basically, these companies are in cahoots with American intelligence communications platforms and creating really a scene of extreme control and monitoring of the entire society. And we have a lot of foreign interests that are involved. Those foreign interests span across Europe and down into the Middle East through Israel. And we have a very, what I call, we're not acting as a sovereign nation any longer. We haven't actually since the 1850s, but even worse so now, whereby a lot of the communications that we were getting in the past, you know, were being done over systems that were far less scalable as they are today. So obviously we're getting a lot more information, and we're not collecting everything so that we can sift through it later. And is it right? Absolutely not. Is it being used in the best way? For sure, it is definitely not being used in the best way in the best interest of other people and other nations.
Right. So, Mr. Stogel, would you say that what I guess just said there, would you agree with him that this is going to affect America's relations with the rest of the world?
Oh, sure. I mean, they see what's going on over here, and obviously other countries are going to react, do something similar. My rule of thumb is whenever you transmit any information over any electronic media, you've got to make sure that what you put out there, you don't worry about it. In other words, don't put out any information that you don't want anybody else to really read. There's no privacy in electronic media these days, so therefore, go on the assumption that whatever you say becomes public info and have your actions guided as such. It's the only way to protect yourself.
For one, we've got Dilma Rousseff, the Brazilian president, saying her personal email was spied on by America. Scott Rickard, we are running out of time. Quickly, if you can. We saw Brazil saying that it is going to adopt legislation and technology to protect its itself from illegal, what it called, of course, illegal interception of communications. What can be done about this by countries like Brazil, Mexico? What should be done?
Well, what should be done is the Americans should actually be more honest with their partners and be not put themselves in a situation where they've been completely dishonest with not only their partners but their own citizens. At the same time, you're looking at a very arduous task at deploying anything that the Americans cannot get access to. They drive the technology standards, and in order to get around it is virtually impossible. These systems were being installed even before the Olympics in Athens in 2004 and were running, collecting intelligence against the higher level dignitaries in the Greek government and the Greek military for several years before they went noticed within the Greek telephony system. So a lot of these countries are not capable of managing their own systems as well as the costs of being able to deploy their own private networks. So it's very unlikely. What's better off in the long term would that be that the Americans would and the British and the French, who actually do control a lot of these technologies in their deployment. Because of their control of the world over the last 200 so years. So you have an alliance between the French, the UK, and the Americans that has really driven a lot of these types of surveillance technologies. And for the French to be complaining about it is almost laughable.
I'm afraid we have run out of time. A big thank you there to our guest in Orlando, former U.S. intelligence linguist, Mr. Scott Rickard. I'd also like to thank our guest in New York, Mr. Stuart Stogel, the U.N. correspondent for Newsmax magazine. Thank you very much for staying with us here for another edition of The Debate. From Michal Walensky, it's goodbye.